This is the final lesson in our series on peace and specifically ponders how we can be peacemakers by preparing for peace. As we read this Bible passage, we find a youthful David, no longer the shepherd boy who defeated Goliath, but also not yet the great King David, learning a lesson in peace from Abigail, who personifies wisdom and grace. Abigail has intervened to prevent David from waging war upon her husband Nabal and their household. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 to 35. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent me to meet you today. Blessed be your good sense, and blessed be you who have kept me today from blood guilt and from avenging myself by my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning there would not have been left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him. He said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have heeded your voice, and I have granted your petition." The stories and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you all please join me in the spirit of prayer in preparation for hearing the message today? God of abundance and peace, we ask that you bless my words, that through your grace, they may speak to all of our hearts and minds and souls. God, you know what we most need to hear. You know what we will need to recall in the week and time ahead. And it will be different for each of us than what our neighbor needs to learn. But through your Spirit, we will hear the lesson that each of us individually needs to help our hearts beat closer in rhythm with yours. Open our ears, open our hearts. Amen. I am looking forward to be hosting Thanksgiving dinner in about a week for my family and my sister's family. It won't be as big of a gathering as some of the ones we've hosted in the past, because our two older sons cannot make it this year from the Midwest back to New England. But nonetheless, a lot of planning and preparation will go into hosting. Our house is already decorated for fall. We've purchased our turkey because Jeff was worried they would run out. And my sister and my husband and myself have planned the menu not only for Thanksgiving Day, but for the time that we will have guests with us in our house. In order to be able to enjoy the time when family comes for Thanksgiving, I like to prepare as much as possible in advance. That means on Wednesday, I will be setting our Thanksgiving table with our wedding china and Jeff's grandmother's silver. My son Will and I will fold the cloth napkins according to a pattern that we found on Pinterest. And I'll set both the water goblets and the wine glasses at the table, which we will fill with sparkling cider that the kids love and we only buy for them at holiday times. I love how pretty the table looks once everything is set. But beyond setting a table that looks pretty, I'm also setting a table that invites a peaceful dinner. Back when our boys were little and our tables were more crowded, we completed a Thanksgiving craft project, decorating pumpkin-shaped place cards, personalizing them with each name of a member of our family. And these pumpkin place cards invited family members to sit in certain places. I always needed to sit a patient grandma between the boys so that they wouldn't get too raucous and interrupt the meal. I needed to place my conservative brother-in-law far from my liberal aunt and uncle whenever they visited from Denver. I seated the kids away from my often cranky father-in-law because he sometimes would slip into language that we preferred that the children didn't repeat. I myself always sat nearest to the door so I could easily jump into the kitchen and refill serving dishes because you never want to have hangry sons competing for the last helping of cranberry sauce or threatening to arm wrestle for the last crescent roll. So I set a table for peace. In today's Bible passage, we have a very different setting. It's the ancient Near East during the time when Israel's King Saul is relentlessly pursuing David throughout the desert because he sees David as a threat to his reign. David and several hundred soldiers have fled into the wilderness. They're living a nomadic lifestyle, offering protection to ranchers, their shepherds, and flock in exchange for provisions. If that sounds a little gangster to you, then you're on the right track. It's against this background that we encounter Nabal, who's wealthy but a surly man, and his discerning wife, Abigail, as the children so kindly acted out for us. Nabal's action incurred David's wrath when he refuses, setting the stage for conflict that instead reveals the transformative power and wisdom of Abigail. Well, David is often the hero in the Bible stories we read, and you all will remember him from the story of David and Goliath, and the writer credited with authoring many of our lovely Psalms. In this passage, Abigail emerges as a beacon of hope and peace in the midst of a lot of tension. Her ability to discern, clearly seeing the situation and what might happen without her intervention, and her hospitality shines through as she stays one step ahead of the feuding men to ensure peace. She is the consummate hostess with the mostess, a woman with a high EQ of emotional intelligence, and a planner. I know and love some women like Abigail, and I think the world would benefit from more of them. As much as I try to set the table for peace during each of my interactions, striving to be an Abigail, there are too many times when I am like David in this story, reacting with anger. There's something about the human condition, or perhaps it's just the way I'm wired, that I find satisfaction, however fleeting, when I can give a good tongue lashing to a deserving jerk. Sometimes the mama bear in me comes out, and rather than loving my neighbor, I'm tempted to berate someone for everything they've done wrong. And like David, rather than Abigail. So as much as I try to set the table for peace, my husband is smiling. He's saying, yep. As much as I try to set the table for peace, striving to be an Abigail, there are also too many times when I am like Nabal, stingy with my resources, worried that there won't be enough for everyone, failing to trust in the providence of God of abundance. Failing to be content in all circumstances, rather than living in a state of gratitude for all that I have been blessed with. So I'm like Nabal, rather than Abigail. Abigail is wise, she has a firm understanding of psychology and intuits the ways in which perpetuating violence causes trauma to not only the victim, but also the offender. She prevents David from enacting violence, saying in verse 31, "You shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without reason." So she succeeds not only in maintaining peace, but she advises David to avoid the guilt and psychological damage that he would suffer if he attacked Nabal. She stays one step ahead of the men's anger to avert the explosion that would have a great deal of collateral damage. She knows that when two people are angry with one another, they hurt not just each other, but often those all around them. Hurt people hurt people. So I think this is one of the reasons that Jesus calls us to be peacemakers in the world that is so often, too often, marked by discord. Jesus wants peace in the world, knowing that the greater peace stems from peace within our own souls. Throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he demonstrated the art of peacemaking. Consider the moment in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and Peter goes a little mama bear and draws his sword in a rash act of bravery. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, rebukes him and heals the wounded soldier's ear. Christ calls us to be peacemakers in our own lives, to seek reconciliation with wisdom breathed by the Spirit, wisdom that transcends and differs from cultural norms. In a culture that encourages us to fight for what is ours and corporations grasp to make money even at the expense of their workers, Jesus says, do not be like Nabal, but instead remember to store up your treasures in heaven where moths cannot eat and thieves cannot steal. In a culture that says might is right, Jesus says, do not be vengeful like David, but forgive those who trespass against you. In a culture that celebrates the rich and famous, Jesus says, don't be a vengeful David, but forgive. I'm repeating myself. In a culture that celebrates the rich and famous, Jesus uplifts those who are thoughtful and humble, like Abigail. You all saw that when Amaiah was acting as Abigail, she bowed to David. She was humble. And Jesus teaches us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. The prayer of St. Francis of Assisi is known to many of us. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. And in the second stanza of this beautiful and poetic prayer, he reminds us of the self-giving ways in which each of us is capable of setting a table for peace every day. He says, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. But oh, how David whined for consolation. And as much as I try to set the table for peace during each of my interactions, striving to be an Abigail, there are too many times when I'm like David. As much as I try to set the table for peace, striving to be an Abigail, there are too many times when I am like Nabal. Perhaps some of us can identify with my desire to be less like them and more like Abigail. As we navigate the complexity of relationships and the whole world around us, let's remember the wisdom of Abigail, who did not seek consolation during this frightening time, but humbly sought to console. And let's also remember the perfect grace of Christ, who never condemned sinners, but chose to live among them in love. Jesus, the peacemaker, left an indelible mark on history. I know I can be most like Abigail when I am thinking ahead, when I'm intuiting the needs of others before I think of what I want. I am most like Abigail when I step out bravely, thinking not of what's best for me or what's the easiest path to take, but advocating boldly for others. In many ways, the story of Abigail is a little like the story of my own call for ministry. I have known the Lord, and I will speak of the Lord, not because it's an easy path, but because once the Lord called me, how could I keep silent, knowing the world was desperate for God's peace? I attended in Rockville, Maryland, a church where the pastor concluded each service with some of the powerful words from Romans 12. They steadily and humbly marched into my heart each week, and I want to plant these words in your hearts today as we conclude our study on peace, but continue to move forward in our call to be peacemakers. These words aptly capture the message of today's Bible story. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Hold fast to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Love and serve the Lord. Do not repay evil for evil, and as far as it is possible, live peaceably with all. Amen.
Amen.
Please join your voices in the final hymn as we ask the Lord to make us instruments of God's peace.